we get into our text today, we got a picture from yesterday with the police that we'd like to show you. Morgan, if you show that to us. It's three deputies and the policeman and Miss Debbie over there doing a high five with one of the sheriff department. I assume you knew him, right? Okay. And the children holding the signs, they're going to take those signs back and put them in the hallways, and they were really appreciative of what you did for them. And it was a blessing to us too. They got a tough job, right? And they know that we love them and appreciate them. Originally they were going to deliver them, but the police lady said they'd rather come get them. I think there's a reason behind that, but anyway, that was a good picture. And there's three deputies. The one in the middle in the back was the head one, whatever they call them.
Lieutenant,
yeah. And all three of them got my tag number. They're going to not give me any tickets for the next year. Okay, Morgan, you can go ahead. And now, I don't know what the neighbors thought. I bet the word's out on us here. And they said that, I wonder what the neighbors are going to think about three deputy cars and a police car being here. I said, just tell them that somebody did not pay their tithe. Okay? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be in verses 11 through 16 today. As we're going through the book of Ephesians systematically, precept by precept, word upon word, verse upon verse, and we're looking at the main theme of the wealth and the walk of the Christian, and now we're in the walk of the Christian, how we conduct ourselves in this life in light of all our spiritual resources. And today we're going to begin to talk about how exactly does Christ build his church? How does Christ, Jesus Christ, build his church? You know, chapter 4 is all about unity. And it teaches biblical unity. And we learned last week in verses 1 through 6 that if we're going to have unity in the church, we must have a lowly state. All of us must walk as Jesus walked, and with the right attitudes, a lowly walk. And this unity must be based on the truth, not some kind of whimsical truth that a lot of churches call truth. I hate to use that word loosely, but it's got to be built on the right doctrine. And so we also learned that if we're going to have biblical unity in the church, believers must know and use their spiritual gifts. If not, the church is going to be stunted. The church is not going to grow properly. The members are not going to be edified properly. And we're not going to be all we can be as God's church. And we talked about that last week, how spiritual gifts, Christ exhibits all these spiritual gifts in his character. And he's given them to his church as a composite so that we might, when we're exercising our gifts and we're doing it with the right heart, all of us, the church is nothing but a composite character of Christ himself. And that's what spiritual gifts are about. Now, God's plan is for the church to grow in maturity and also in number. And we can't have unity without maturity, and we can't have true maturity without unity. Now, today we're going to look at God's plan for spiritual growth, or for the growth of his church. Christ said what? I will build my church. But we see here how he does that, okay? A lot of churches today are trying to leave the Bible and forget about the Spirit of God, forget about the Word of God. We're going to just do Madison Avenue techniques and successes and things like that, man-made things, and we're going to build our church, right? But Christ says he will build his church. Now, before we get up and read our text, I want you to know that God's plan for church growth is simple, yet many overlook it. They depend on man-made promotions and programs, man-made entertainment. This is why when we come to church today, when I went to get Amy and we brought her, we passed by some churches that are doing it their way. The parking lot is full. But it's not the Bible way. And they do it by human techniques, human strategies. But Christ will build his church through the means that he's given us in our text, okay? So we're going to look at it very closely in just a moment. But let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's pick up in verse 11. And we looked at this last week, how God has given gifts, three gifts to the church. He's also given gifted men to the church. In verse 11, he gave some apostles, foundational apostles. The church was built upon the foundation of the teaching of the apostles. And then some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Those are the gifted men that God has given to this church today. Some have passed off the scene. The office of apostle and prophet is off the scene. Today, God uses evangelists and pastor teachers to build his church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the saints, or the building up of the saints, equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So God has given gifted men to the church to equip the saints. What? For the work of the ministry. What happens then? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be not more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men, with a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body of the edifying of itself in love. Father, I pray today as we open this text that you show us that what your method is for growing Trinity Baptist Church. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Look, first of all, 2 points today. Very simple. You may be seated. Very simple. How does Christ build his church? Number one, we've seen in the text in verse 11 and 12 that gifted men equip the body. Okay? And then what happens next? The body edifies the body. Okay? Now let's look at the first one. Gifted men equip the body. That word perfecting there in verse 12. I've seen a little church in Quitman when I go over to the nursing home. It's called the Church of the Perfecting of the Saints. I think that's a pretty biblical name, right? It says the Church of the Perfecting of the Saints. That word perfecting means to equip. Gifted men equip the body, what? For ministry, so that the body can minister. That word equip there, perfect, means to restore to an original condition, to make it fit or complete. And the word is used 5 ways in the New Testament. Number one, it's used in a medical way in Galatians 6:1, when you set a bone that's out of joint. I told the church Wednesday night the word orthos in the Greek, orthopedics is where the doctors set the bone, right? And this is what the gifted men do to the church using the word of God. They set every joint in place, you know, and so every joint or every bone, if you will, can find its place and function in the body of Christ. And it's also used in a psychological way in 1 Corinthians 1:10, a counselor or to think right. We cannot think right unless we're equipped by the Word of God, right? Unless we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God and we in the spirit of our mind. It is the Word of God that renews us more like Christ, so to get us to thinking right. And that's why many people in the church today don't think right, because they don't know their Bible, right? It's used in a military way in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Means to train for the battle. And that's what the Word of God does. It's just proclaimed and taught. It trains God's people for service in the spiritual warfare that we are about. And it's used in an educational way in Luke 6:40. Means to be trained as a disciple. The only thing that's going to make you like Christ is the Word of God and surrender to the Holy Spirit, right? And through suffering, and as you walk through the suffering in your life, you're made more like through Christ through spiritual endurance. And it's also used in a commercial way in Matthew 4:21. It has to do with the word of mending their nets or being useful, right? As the Word of God will equip us and make us useful in the kingdom. Now, what does a pastor use in equipment? I've already told you, he uses the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 4:13, we are told to read, exhort, and teach from the Word of God when we come together. In 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, remember the scriptures are useful for salvation, for sanctification, and for service. It is the Word of God that leads us to Christ, who saves us, and then sanctifies us, makes us more holy, if you will, by practice, right? We're already holy by position, but it makes us more holy by practice as we grow more like Christ through this life, right, until we get to heaven. And then we're equipped for service. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy to preach the word, right? Preach the word. The best way to do that is just to preach it like it's written and start and preach through books. And, you know, if you skip around from Revelation and go over to Genesis next week, you're not going to be able to put it all together, right? So that's why we go through books. And then we're told in John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. The word is truth. And so this is the only way we're going to be more like Christ. So we're set apart. That's what it means to be holy. That's what it means to be sanctified. When you got saved, you were set apart for Christ's use, right? For a particular purpose, right? You were set apart. You are, the word sanctified means holy. You are holy by position, but you continue to grow more like Christ, right? We're set apart. We love what God loves and we hate what God's hate. I would question anybody's salvation if they hated what God loves and then they love what God hates, right? We do that. That's what we are. We are set apart. We are totally set apart. We are to be set apart for the Father's will as Jesus was. And so here's the question. Who does the work of the ministry? Don't answer that. Who does the work of the ministry? The answer is both the pastor and the people, right? The pastor does his ministry in equipping, and the people minister to the body of Christ, right? I mean, that's the way it works. I can only be in one place at one time. But you can be there when I'm not there, right? And you do minister. Many of you do minister, but many of us still don't. I'll be honest with you. And so who does the work of the ministry? The pastor equips the body so that they can be being ministers, and the body of Christ can be built up through ministering to itself. Now, so this is very simple, isn't it? I mean, this is the pastor, the gifted man in this case, equips the body, what? Through the Word of God, okay? Now, you say, well, our people aren't learning. But if you've been here 15 years, you know it's not my fault, right? I give you a steady diet of the Word of God, right? Now, I can't help how people receive it, what they do with it, but it's not because they're not being fed, okay? Secondly, that brings us to the second way that Christ builds his church. Once the gifted man equips the body with the Word of God, the body edifies the body in verses 12 through 16. Now, notice the latter part of verse 12, if you will. For the edifying of the body of Christ, or the building up of the body of Christ, for the spiritual growth of the body of Christ, the sanctification of the body of Christ. Now, how do we know we are growing spiritually? Because you never miss a Sunday? How do we know we are growing spiritually? Well, verses 12 through 16 tells us. Four evidences of the fact of edification or growth. Four evidences of not only your growth individually, but four evidences of the growth of the whole church, right? What are they? Number one, look in verse 14. There's Christ-likeness, okay? Christ-likeness. Go back to verse 13. Till all come into the unity of the faith, that's the body of beliefs there, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of stature or the fullness of Christ. I had the wrong verse there. It's verse 13. Till we measure ourselves by Jesus Christ. We don't measure ourselves by each other, right? If we did, we'd be satisfied where we're at. But we measure ourselves by Jesus Christ till we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now we're not going to be perfect in this life. It just means mature is the word there. Be mature in our ministry. the measure, look in the latter part of verse 13, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ's likeness. God wants every believer manifesting the character of Christ. Jesus is our standard for spiritual maturity. Hold there and go with me to 2 Corinthians, if you will. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It's not too far back. I want you to turn there and I'll show you how God does it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Okay? God wants every believer to grow, right? If you're not growing, you're out of the will of God, right? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass. How is glass used in James? It's called the mirror of God's word. The glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the Word of God, and as we obey the Word of God, we are being changed from one level of glory to another into the image of Christ. That's why, go back with me, Ephesians. That's why God saved us, to conform us to the image of His Son. He didn't save you just to make a good church member out of you. He saved you to be like Christ, right? Everybody following me, okay? And so, it's progressive sanctification. Growth begets growth. You say, well, I'm not growing. Well, do those things that help you grow, and then next thing you know, growth begets growth. Next way you know, just like sin begets sin, right? Well, growth begets growth. And first, in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that it's our goal in the ministry to bring every man mature in Christ, to present him mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. How else do we know we're growing? How else do we know the body is edifying the body? There's going to be Christ-likeness. There's not going to be no always whimpering and fussing and fighting. It's like we see in some of these churches, you know, little baby stuff. The whole church is like a nursery, you know. And, you know, you don't see that kind of stuff. If the church is growing more like Christ, you're going to see people handling problems in a mature, biblical way, right? And then secondly, there's doctrinal stability. Look in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We are no longer spiritually immature. We grow and we're growing more like Christ. We're not easily deceived, right? We don't follow the latest fad that comes down the pipe, you know. We stick to the Word of God, and what does the Word of God say? We know what we believe and why we believe it. Right? And we're able to defend it. We're able to use the Word of God skillfully. Okay? Thirdly, how else do we know we're growing? Well, we speak the truth in love, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him and all things which is the head, even Christ. Now, when we talk to each other, we ought to speak the truth in love, right? And especially in evangelism. Evangelism is more effective when it's shared in love, right? I mean, I just can't bring myself to get on an elevator with a man and say, you know, turn or burn. I mean, you know, to me, that's not me, right? There's a time and a place for that, but not on the elevator, right? And you speak the truth in love, right? Out of a heart that doesn't want people to go to hell, doesn't want people to be lost. And so we're equipped and empowered by God's love. That's what gives us boldness in our proclamation of the church, speaking the truth in love. Not like that church. What's the name of that church out there? They call themselves a church, but they protest every funeral of an American soldier. What's the name of that church? Anybody got that? Right? Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Y'all don't. Y'all ain't been watching the news. That's a good thing, probably. But it starts with a W. Okay, I'm not off base here. Y'all the ones off base here, okay? But it's out there. Oh, they go, when a serviceman loses his life, they'll go to the funeral and demonstrate against the military.
That's the devil.
Yeah, I know that. Who? Yeah, Westboro Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Rex. See, Brother Rex is growing. Amen? Westboro Baptist Church. Call themselves Baptist. Call themselves a church. That's not in the Bible, folks, right? It's not at all in the Bible. That's what brought these freedom riders up. The guys on the motorcycles with the flags. They go there and they will block the Westboro Baptist Church from getting up close to the family. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what started that. Don't get me and Brother Rex. We'll do a tag team here in a minute. But speaking the truth in love. How else do we know we're growing? How do you know you're growing? How do we know our church is growing? Well, verse 16, there's cooperation in service. We're using our giftedness where God has placed us in the body of Christ. Look in verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together. Every member of the body of Christ, right where God wants them to be, using their gifts, and compacted by that every joint supplieth. See, you can only supply in the body of Christ and give back to the body what God has given you, right? You're not expected to use a gift you don't have, but you are expected to use the gift that you do have, right? And notice what he says there. According to the effectual working, in other words, God's going to empower your gift. The measure of every part maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you get the picture here? The picture is a church where every believer knows their giftedness. And every believer is serving with the right attitude and the right heart. And we're showing the character of Christ in the local church. And the whole body is being built up, right? What if there are some 17 spiritual gifts, okay? I'm in that camp. But what if some of those people who had those gifts decided to stay home that day? You know? What if the person with the gift of exhortation and encouragement decided to stay home? Man, that'd probably be getting the gift of prophecy where it's either white or black, right? But we need encouragers, right? What if I didn't come today? You know? And don't say hallelujah, amen. What if I didn't show up? Well, y'all be scrambling around to get somebody real quick, right? What if our excellent bookkeeper didn't come today? Right? Like, we've already missed Brother Ben today, you know that? You know, because what does he do? He gets the offering envelopes and puts them in the back of the pews. Did anybody think to do that today in his absence? You see what I'm saying, folks? We miss your giftedness when you're not here, right? That's it, yeah. No water, I just got an empty little thing here, you know, right? I'll talk with you out back, Rex. But you see, what if Wanda didn't come today? Huh? We would miss her, right? What if Bobby didn't come this morning? We'd miss seeing him there in his wheelchair, right? You see what I'm saying? When every joint supplies what God has given them and they're working together, the church is never more like Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you have 800, you have magnificent grounds and buildings. We're not talking about that. They got it all wrong. Success is not what they call it. Success is faithfulness. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what we're saying. Right? What if Miss Inez didn't come today? I'd make all kind of mistakes that would go uncorrected. Right? She's my Diotrephes. I'll let you look that up later. But you see what I'm saying? And I'll leave somebody out, I know that. What if Marcus didn't come today? Right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to leave nobody out. But what if you didn't come today? Right? And we do miss, I understand that. But we need to use our gifts when we come together, but also when we leave here, right? If you have the gift of mercy, that's just not using it in a church building. It's using it out there, right? And by the way, last week when I told you you ought not stay over 10 or 15 minutes at a hospital visitation, I was talking about people you don't know and people like that. And of course, the family members need people sitting with them, okay? I guess y'all understand that, right? Yeah. And so that's what I was talking about there. Cooperation and service. Every member discovering their giftedness and functioning as God intended in the ministry that he intended. Maybe he's got a gift. See, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are different gifts, but there's different ministrations and different ways of using that gift, right? Ever how you want to do it. Every member in submission to the Holy Spirit in obedience and cooperation with other members. And then that results in growth. We're equipped and we're edified and our body grows itself in love. So I asked you a question today. How do you know you're growing up? Number one, character. Is your character more like Christ? Number two, your beliefs. Are your beliefs in line with the Bible, right? Your speech. You're able to speak the truth in love. Your service. Are you doing your part here at Trinity Baptist Church? What if Mildred and Avon weren't here to send out cards to people and birthday cards, right? And other people send out cards, you know. Our designated person in the church is Linda. Matthew sends out get well cards and sympathy cards, right? And Carol sends out anniversary cards, right? Yeah, birthday cards too. And other people here, I know the Ezels and I know Christine sends out cards. And you send out cards. I know I'm going to get mad over lunch. You know, preacher didn't mention me and he don't know what I do. Well, if you get upset about it, then you're probably doing it with the wrong heart. Amen? Right? Faith sends out a lot of cards. You send out a lot of cards. Man. Cards everywhere, right? The body is ministering to the body, okay? And today we have many wrong views of how we measure our church or our ministry. We're not a success unless we got 800. We're not a success unless we got big buildings. We're not a success unless we got a 125-member choir. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But success revolves around two questions. Is the pastor equipping the church? And is the church, the body of Christ, ministering to the body of Christ? And are we growing? Now, next week, we're going to look at the new life. We're going to break it down into two parts, the old man and the new man. But we're going to look at the new life next week. All heads bowed, all heads closed. Father, today is a message to the church. But if there's one here without Christ, Father, I want them to know today that Jesus died for their sins. He died in their place. He was their substitute. They could not earn heaven. They were not righteous. We were not righteous. We couldn't do good deeds. It's only by knowing Jesus Christ, the perfect one who came and died on that cross in our place. That's the only way. In our repentance and faith in him, that's the only way we go to heaven. We don't go to heaven by being good. That's why Christ came, because we can't be good. We live in this unredeemed flesh. We go to heaven by who we know, but not by what we do. Father, today, if there's someone here like that today, we ask you, Father, to bring them down this aisle today. And they'll say, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be baptized. I want to unite with a local church where I can grow as a Christian and serve. I need the body of Christ. Whatever the need is today, Lord, they know it. Your finger is on their heart right now as we're talking. And I pray that people will respond in obedience. Father, do your blessed will. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, before you get your hymn books, let's stand. Turn to page 252. Page 252.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him.